You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Vern's Royals Bonanza.
Lined into right center field for a hit. Merrifield's going to try to score. A good throw home could get him. Then the throw is not in time.
Here's your Royals insider, Josh Vernier.
And welcome back. As promised, Royals infielder Nicky Lopez is our guest. And Nicky, I'll tell you this. The two questions I get most often, grocery store, around the building here at 610 Sports Radio, the two questions, number one, what's going on with the Chiefs? And number two, what's up with these Gold Glove awards? How was Nicky Lopez not even a finalist for the American League shortstop Gold Glove? Do you have an answer for either one of those questions?
I know the Chiefs are going to be all right. That's what I know. Anyone in professional sports know that you go through your ups and downs, and any fan, any true fan will ride with them whether they're winning or losing. But I know the Chiefs are going to be all right. As far as the Gold Glove question, yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. Like, I feel like personally I did a lot to be able to be in the top three. I think I put myself in the right position. I thought I did. You know, my stats were good. You know, all that stuff. I led in a lot of categories, but it's just one of those things where it was kind of a shocking, you know. I didn't know if I was going to win it, but I thought I did well enough to be in the top three. And, you know, unfortunately, my name wasn't up there, but, you know, now we just got to turn the page. We got more things to worry about. I want to not watch teams in October. I want to be playing in October. So, you know, kind of flip the switch and, you know, look forward to that.
Look, as someone that watched every single game that you played this season, I, as well as along with everybody listening, believe that you belonged in that top three. You're not allowing that to make you second guess the kind of defense that you played, though, right?
No, right. Yeah. But it is sometimes tough. It's like, all right, well, what did I do wrong? It's a Gold Glove. It's based off of defense. And, you know, if you look at statistics-wise, you know, I was up there in every category, you know, except probably, like, I think one category. But it was one of those things that's like, all right, well, you know, those can kind of creep in your mind. But I know that starting at second base and then having to go to, you know, shortstop due to an unfortunate injury and then doing or having a season that I did, you know, I was actually very, you know, happy for myself and very, very proud of myself. Obviously, I'm a team first guy and would like to be in the playoffs and would like to be still playing in October. But it's one of those things is you gotta celebrate individual successes when they happen as well. And I was very happy with the season I had.
So who did you hear from? Front office, coaches, teammates? Who's reaching out to you?
Basically, all the above. You know, it says a lot about, you know, the type of teammates and the type of organization I play for. I got a call from, you know, Dayton, text from Scott, my coaches, Skip, Vance, Witt reached out, and Benny, and a couple other guys as well. So it's cool to see that they do truly, you know, care for me. So, but it says a lot about the team and the organization I play for.
Man, and when that news came out, and I shouldn't feel like this, but there was a part of me, man, where I'm hoping that it's not getting Nicky Lopez down because, man, 300 batting average, Gold Glove caliber shortstop, and statistically one of the best base runners in Major League Baseball. I said throughout the season, when I grew up, and I'm just a little bit older than you, but when we grew up, a 300 batting average, Gold Glove defense, and the best base runner in the American League, that guy's a perennial all-star. So I'm wondering, when you show up to spring training this year, how are you different from the guy that showed up last year?
So the thing is, and then I've always said this in a lot of, you know, interviews, is that once you see success, for instance, when I saw success in the minor leagues, I know I can do it. It keeps your confidence up. It's one of those things that when you go through struggles, because baseball, I mean, is a game of failure. So when you go through struggles, you kind of look back and like, all right, well, I've been here. I've had the success. I know I can do it. So going into spring training next year, it's one of those things where it's where I'm gonna, you know, carry some confidence into spring training, know that I belong here and I can compete at the highest level here, and you know, put a good product out there, and I can help a team win. But it's also one of those things that, you know, you don't come into spring training thinking, you know, I deserve this, I deserve that. It's one of those things you got to come in and you got to just get to work, and you got to not take anything for granted.
And man, that leads me into this. As I laid out the numbers defensively, the numbers on the base paths, and of course the offensive numbers, all stand out. But what's so endlessly brutal about this game is, as you called it, a game of failure, is, hey, great job last year, but on game one next year, it's do it again.
Right.
That's just a brutal game. Does that sound?
I wish it wasn't like that, but it makes the game fun, and you know, I wish we can carry stats over to next year and just keep it going. But that's the beauty of the game. It's you can have an MVP season one year, and then the next year you can struggle, and it's unfortunate, but it's how you bounce back. So
where do you see the most room for improvement? As I would imagine, we're maybe a month away, a month and a half away from you really getting back at it.
Yeah. So no, I started last week fully back at it. I'll start swinging and throwing here around Thanksgiving time. But as far as room for improvement, there always is room for improvement, whether it's on the hitting side, defensive side, and the base pass. So it's one of those things is I gotta just kind of look back and see, all right, where can I get better? Where can I improve on? But also, where can I just like fine tune some things and, you know, kind of put a stamp on it and keep just drilling into it, so that it doesn't go away. And the best thing though this year was the mental aspect. If you have a clear mind and you have a clear outlook at things, when I was struggling, when I went on that long skid of 1-for-31, the thing that helped me was when I got sent down beginning of the season, I had to clean my mind. I had to think positively and know that when you do go through struggles, if you have a routine, which I was fortunate enough to make, and I had a routine, a strong routine. And when I got sent down and when I went through those struggles for 1-for-31, I stuck with it, stayed positive, knew that, hey, if you stick with this stuff, it's eventually going to turn. And that's one of those things that I think a year ago I would have got really negative. But this year I just stayed put and kept going right at it.
And that lesson that you learned, it seems as if that is one that all successful big leaguers go through at some point in their career. So with that kind of knowledge going into 2022, do you expect your role inside the clubhouse, your voice inside the clubhouse, to change, to get any louder?
So I'm already a loud guy. I like talking. I'm always there for – I'm a team-first guy, but maybe. I mean, I know it's, you know, Sal and Witt, you know, the two voices are loud in the locker room whenever they talk. They lead the meetings and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm always there to be in a leadership role. I would like to, you know, take a leadership role, whatever that may be. But I know it's one of those things that you can't force it, and it's one of those things that's like when it's your time, it's just going to naturally happen. But my teammates know that I'm there for support. They're there to talk with about anything, and we'll always have their back. So, but it's one of those things that just genuinely happens.
You and I have talked about the shortstop competition next spring a few times already over the course of the season. With that knowledge that you've gained over the past few seasons, with that voice that you have in that clubhouse, the confidence that you carry, I'm curious, will there be disappointment if you're not the guy at short to start 2022?
I wouldn't say I would be disappointed, because I think the world of this organization. They trusted me this last year and kept me at shortstop and said, hey, we're gonna have you play shortstop the rest of the year. Go play. And, you know, that meant the world to me. It gave me the confidence. But if I'm not shortstop to start next year, then I know that they're going to put me in a position where I'm going to succeed. And whether that's playing second base, whether that's playing third base, whether that's going to playing in the outfield, wherever it may be. But I know that they're going to put me somewhere else where I'll play, and then I'll be able to help the team win at that position. So whether it's short, whether it's second, whether it's anywhere else on the diamond, as long as I'm playing, you're not going to hear too much out of me.
Can you expand on that conversation from last season when, because it was very clear that Dayton, Mike Matheny sat down with Adalberto Mondesi and said, look, Nicky's going to win a gold glove. We love you, Mondy, but we got to let this young man go get this hardware. Mondy accepted it. The organization prioritized. And look, you earned it. First and foremost, you earned that spot at shortstop and Mondy moving over to third. But what was that like when everything was, you know, revolving around your fantastic play?
Yeah, it was, they called me in. They sat me down. They were very nice about it. Because at that point, they thought I had a really good shot of winning, you know, the gold glove. And they said that, hey, you played short this whole year. We're gonna keep you there and see what happens. And, you know, that meant the world to me. And I'm the type of kid that if I'm confident, and I think any baseball player would say this, is that confidence is one of the biggest things you can have. So if you're playing with confidence, it's one of those things where everything seems to be clicking. And at that point, when they told me that, hey, you're gonna be starting shortstop the rest of the year, my confidence was through the roof, and kind of just went off for there. And it meant so much to me. And do I think that our team is better with Mondy on the field? Obviously, because Mondy knows that I think the world of him, and I know the front office does too. But it did mean a lot to me and my confidence.
Well, that's terrific, Nicky. I really appreciate the time tonight. Thank you very much. Enjoy the off season, and I'll see you in spring training before you know it.
Awesome. Thank you, Vern. Sounds good. I'll see you when we get in town.
All right, man. That's Nicky Lopez. We'll be joined by the man that signs Nicky Lopez's paycheck, Royals Chairman, CEO John Sherman, coming up next.
You're listening to Vern's Royals Bonanza.
Slider is lifted to shallow center and back to make a great catch, Nicky Lopez.
On your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.